This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Hey, look, I caught you, Michael Lombardi. He was looking down texting before we get going here on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Esports Betting Network. Are you ready? It's been 8 long months since college football was upon us, but it's back. Week zero today, my friend. 14 games. We're going to get into the storylines as far as the 2022 season. But first off, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, I am very excited. College football's back. It's going to be a fun season. You know, as we sort through all these teams and watch these games, it'll be a great Saturday. I mean, it's going to be a busy Saturday from here on out. And we start early. We start in Dublin, Ireland, with Northwestern and Nebraska. So it kind of kicks off and it ends late in Hawaii. So we've spanned the globe.
When I think about my relatives escaping the potato famine, I think about them heading to Lincoln, Nebraska. So it makes a lot of sense that Nebraska would be starting off in Dublin. Northwestern Nebraska, 2-3-9 teams last year. Nebraska opened 13. It's down to 11 at most shops. You still got a couple. It's the number is wild. It's 13.5 at one, 10.5 at another. That total has jumped up to 52. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Got plenty to do. As you mentioned, we end up in Hawaii late night. Don't be chasing bets late night. Storylines, Michael Lombardi. Storylines.
Yeah.
In a blink of an eye, the sport has changed. Let's think about this. NILs. The transfer portal has, the softened restrictions have made the sport completely unrecognizable. Conference realignment. Texas and Oklahoma headed to the SEC. You've got UCLA and USC headed to the Big Ten. New coaches, quarterbacks, elite quarterbacks this year, top heavy. This is a really interesting landscape as we head into the college football season.
And as betting, and in the betting market, we really don't, there's not a clear-cut favorite to win the Heisman. I mean, it's an open field, right? So it's all going to be predicated on what we see, what plays, what happens moving forward. You know, I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite right now. I think a lot of it's going to depend upon what happens in these games, especially these critical games as we move forward. So, you know, that's what also makes it intriguing. I mean, there's a superstar to be found, and that to me, is what college football is all about.
Well, it points to the quarterbacks. Let's take a look. Last year's Heisman winner, Bryce Young, their Alabama, is back. He's 4-1. The favorite to win the Heisman at DraftKings right now, C.J. Stroud, plus 220. Caleb Williams, he joins your boy out in California here at 7-1. Dylan Gabriel, who heads to Oklahoma, a little bit slept on as well. But as I mentioned, the quarterbacks are elite this year. We had one quarterback in the first round picked, and that was, of course, Kenny Pickett. But this year, we got a lot of talent at the quarterback position.
Yeah, we do. And there's others. You know, I mean, I know that Alabama's certainly going to, you know, but to win it 2 years in a row if there's a little hiccup. But Alabama's a good team. I mean, Alabama will bounce back this year. I think they have a lot of their, you know, look, they reload. They don't, they restock. I mean, it isn't like they're going to have a down year. So I know why he's the favorite, but I still think it's a wide open race. I think this could be anybody's race. The kid at Florida, you know, he could easily come. If somebody from the back that has these great years, I think can certainly close the gap.
And of course, Michael Lombardi, when I say elite quarterbacks going to head to the NFL after this season as opposed to last year. You mentioned Alabama, tough rebuild for them last year when they lost in the championship game 33-18. Remember, this is Nick Saban, who called last year a rebuild. He's won 6 national championships in 15 seasons at Alabama. He returns the Heisman winner at quarterback. He's got the best defender in the country in Will Anderson. He's got depth coming from that transfer portal. This Alabama team, they're sitting 10.5 over at DraftKings as far as season win totals. You got to pay $3 to the over. So they're minus 300 if you want to bet the over on 10.5. Just so you know, they've lost 2 regular season games one time in the past 11 seasons.
Right. And I think when you look at their team, right, they lost the 2 receivers to the draft, and both of them, they were, you know, they lost them and now they come back. But they get a junior transfer, Burton, who's supposed to be spectacular. They've got this Prentice kid who's a freshman who's supposed to be spectacular. Go along with Brooks I mean, this is a team that, you know, like we often say, it reloads. Now, I think the key for them is the left tackle. They lose Neal to the Giants. Ken Steen come in. He's a senior transfer. He steps right in to play left tackle for them, and they have experienced offensive line. I mean, they've got a grad transfer at left guard. They've got a, you know, a senior at center, a senior at right guard, and a very, very good player as a sophomore at right tackle. So this isn't a team that's coming in here with a lot of young players. Nick doesn't have to mold it. A junior transfer at running back, this Gibbs kid, comes in to go along with some of these others backs. I mean, Rondell Williams and McClellan. I mean, these are, it's obviously, they're a good team, and Bryce Young will make it all go. Plus, Billy O'Brien stays, right? So Billy O'Brien will run the same scheme. Young will get better at what he's doing. So, you know, Alabama's going to be a hard team to play. But, and then we look at them defensively, Patrick, my Lord, you know, they don't lose anybody.
Loaded.
And like you said, they have one of the best players. Will Anderson's one of the best players in the country.
Michael, they're going to be favored by 2 touchdowns in all 12 games this year. That's how good Alabama is. So
I think you're underestimating the secret weapon they have too. You know, Bill Berman's now part of the coaching staff down there at Alabama. I'm sure he's going to help them, that little edge that they needed. You know, I'm sure he's going to give them that too, since his daughter's going to school there. I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Very important information. I'm glad you got it in early. That is noteworthy, no doubt. Bill Berman down in Tuscaloosa. Look, he's laughing. Hey, so let's continue with the thread, though, of the top heaviness and the top heavy nature.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got Bama over at DraftKings plus 175 to win a championship. You've got Ohio State at 3-1. You've got Georgia at 4-1. We'll go through Ohio State and Georgia and set them up in a second. But then you've got Clemson as your fourth betting favorite at 10-1. And then you get prices. I mean, you get big-time prices. You got A&M 25-1. USC, that's the Lincoln Riley effect. They're not ready to win a national championship. They're 25-1. How about Michigan, 40-1? Notre Dame, 40-1. I mean, after those top three, there is a chasm. That is the story this year.
Well, I think after those top threes, you have question marks at quarterback. Who's playing quarterback for Michigan? Do we know? I don't know. You know, will he play as effectively? You know, I don't know. I mean, DJ at Clemson didn't play well last year. Is the freshman kid going to come in there? Klubnik, is he going to come in and take the job? Or the grad chance for Hunter Johnson, is he going to come take the job? Like, every team you mention with longer odds doesn't have the quarterback. You know, they don't have the quarterback to fill in. And so unless you have a quarterback, you're not going into Tuscaloosa to beat them. You know, unless you have a player that can tilt the field at that position. And, you know, look, I keep harping on it, but Florida does. I mean, Florida has Richardson, and he could tilt the field. If you put Richardson on A&M's team, you know, that maybe they're a different ball club. I have no faith that A&M is going to be able to turn the corner. I don't care how much money they spend in NIL. It still comes down to, can Jimbo get the quarterback to play at a high level? Now, everybody in the national media will say, oh, yeah, Jimbo's a great offensive coordinator. I watch his offense. I don't see greatness at all. I don't see it. I see a lot of details that get missed. And when he goes against somebody that knows what he's doing, I think it becomes a problem.
That's going to be a big-time thread and theme. Anthony Richardson, Michael Lombardi has been all over him, the kid at Florida.
I love that kid.
I know you do. He's got a new head coach in Billy Napier. Okay, let's stick with the big three, and then we'll move on. Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, you expect him to get better in year two, if that's possible. 44 touchdowns last year. And he's got two guys that could join him in New York for that Heisman presentation. Jackson Smith, Njigba, of course, the wide receiver, and then Travion Henderson. Those are studs. I mean, they're completely loaded. You know, we're talking to our buddy Amal Shah, who's a Ohio State alum. He says this could be a historic offense, and he may not be wrong.
Well, we saw it. You know, look, let's go back to the Rose Bowl, you know, and we saw, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. comes in, and we're like, who's this kid? You know, we know his father, but we didn't know how great he was. And Fleming plays, and Smith plays, and all of a sudden, where are they getting these kids? You know, now they're going to have redshirt freshmen that, like, I can only imagine how good Ballard and Babb are when they have to come play, you know. And then they've got pure freshmen, which is this the Khalid Brown, a highly recruited kid, and Graves. So, I mean, the offensive line is back intact. Look, there should be – let's make no mistake about this. Ohio State's going to be good on offense. The difference is going to be where they're going to be on defense. And Ryan Pace made the changes defensively, brings in the Oklahoma State defensive coordinator, and now they've got to see if they can do it. They're going to be relatively young on defense, a lot of redshirt freshmen in their defensive front, and we'll see if he can do what he did at Oklahoma State, which is change the way they play defense. I mean, Oklahoma State was known as an offensive school, and last year they won the defense.
Yep, you nailed it. Ohio State 3-1 on the board. And then finally, Georgia, as far as the big three, they win a championship last year, first time since 1980. How about this? 15 players found a home in the NFL from that team last year. You think Kirby's recruiting down in Athens? My goodness. Stetson Bennett, that is your boy. He's back. Now, again, we kind of crushed Stetson Bennett. This is a team that averaged 7 yards per play last year. Okay, they're going to miss out on Zamir White, James Cook, the running back's gone, but they reload. Kendall Milton's there. They just reload.
They reload, and they're good. You know, they're going to be younger in the offensive line, obviously. A lot of redshirt sophomores in their offensive line. But to me, this is a team this year that Stetson Bennett is going to have to make more plays. I don't think they're just going to be able to stone people defensively. They're too young. They're not, you know, they got too many guys to replace. I know they reload, but the quarterback's going to have to make some plays. To me, I think they're overvalued at 4-1. I really do. I think they'll be good. Look, the schedule's not that tough, but at some point, Bennett's going to have to be a legitimate quarterback in the pocket. And if you look at this Ohio State at Georgia program, you wonder. There's two programs that I really wonder. Well, three. I wonder about, are they evaluating the quarterback correctly? And I think it's Georgia. I think it's Michigan. What are they doing there? We got to figure that out, right? And you know, when you look at those two programs, they just have, and Notre Dame, those three. Like, what's Notre Dame doing at quarterback? Are they going to be good enough at quarterback? You know, Tommy Reese takes over as the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame. I don't know where they're going at quarterback. I don't know if I see a pro quarterback. Like, to me, Notre Dame should be quarterback university. They should have three guys there that you think are going to play in pro football. I don't see any so far.
By the way, I think it was our buddy, the Bear, Chris Felico, over at College Game Day. This is the prop over at DraftKings. Bama to win the SEC West, Georgia to win the SEC East, Ohio State to win the Big Ten East at minus 125 at DraftKings. Those three things happen. You lay a little bit of a price, $1.25. You win your cash over at DraftKings. Okay, we're just getting started. We've set up the season for college football, and we're going to dive into the board next here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, you can get $10 free and bet over at VSiN's preferred horse racing app. That's First Bet, of course, Express Bet. Use the code HORSE200 for the $10. Plus, you get 100% match on your first deposit up to $200. Express Bet's the best. With wagering at over 300 tracks and AI-assisted picks, the First Bet app is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport with secure payments, attentive customer service. I can vouch for that. And a reliable website. Details at vsin.com/horses. And here are the plays from Jeff Siegel, who does a great job for us here on the Lombardi Line. Del Mar in the third race. He likes Emerald Lake at 2-1 on the morning line. Saratoga, where Bill Parcells continues to win. And the 13th today, he likes Parnak at 3-1. As we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, he, of course, is Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. It's here. It reminded me this morning when I woke up, remember your girl Rose in the Titanic when at the end she said, it's been 84 years. That's what it feels like. We've had preseason football in the NFL, but to finally get some live bullets that are legit flowing today, it's going to be nice, Michael.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, look, we got it going now. Now we're on a routine, Patrick. We got to get ready for the college games on Saturday, the pro games on Sunday. You know, there's nothing better than having that routine going. I'm looking forward to next week being down with Jick Jack, talking about college football with him, and surveying the landscape of Biloxi, Mississippi. I'm disappointed that you're not going to be with me, but, you know, we'll make do. We'll figure it out.
Can I just give a quick shout out to Millie? Because that steel blue combination you're wearing today is the perfect way to kick off the season. And I know for a fact that she dressed you today because that looks too good.
How did you know that? Like seriously, I put the t-shirt on, but then she made me wear this jacket. So
I know
she did. We've worked together so long, you even know who's picking the clothes out. That's amazing.
Because
that's called
Millie
chemistry.
Millie is very stylish. She's very cosmopolitan. That's called monochromatic, and it pops. Let's move on to the coaches because it's going to get awkward if I keep going. Lincoln Riley.
All right.
Lincoln Riley.
Yes.
Lincoln Riley at USC is going to work because this is such a fertile recruiting ground, especially for quarterbacks in Orange County. We'll get to that in a second. Brian Kelly, LSU. Michael Lombardi, he moves on from Notre Dame. Mario Cristobal, Miami. Marcus Freeman, we mentioned Notre Dame. Brett Venables takes a shot at Oklahoma. And Billy Napier, Florida. What stands out about the new faces as far as the coaches?
I think Billy Napier, you know, I love Billy Napier. I've watched him at Louisiana Lafayette, a coach. I've talked to his team. I've talked to him. He's from the Nick Saban school. He was a GA at Alabama. He's worked his way, was at Arizona State. He can coach the quarterback now. You know, we talked about it last year at Louisiana. He had that left-handed quarterback that I thought if he had just a little bit better player, he was getting the most out of him. But that's when they fell a little short. And he had that program really going. They were a tough team to play. So I think the combination of Napier going to Florida with Richardson is a deadly combination. Now, they haven't done a great job. Dan Mullen, when he was there, they weren't recruiting as well as they needed to. But I think that's going to be really something to watch as we move forward. I think Florida got it right with this hire. I really do. And when you look at, you know, to me, Brian Kelly, he walks into a situation that I think would be – you know, probably the best situation he's ever been in his career. Notre Dame's a wonderful school, harder to get players in. LSU is, to me, one of the top five jobs of college and pro football. If you combine them all, they're one of the top five jobs of any program because you've got such a fertile recruiting ground to go to. And it's going to be interesting to see what Brian Kelly does with Jaden Daniels, the Arizona State recruit. He's got Garrett Nussmeier, Doug Nussmeier's son, is a redshirt freshman on the team too. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here with Daniels. Daniels, I thought, was never as good as the pub told us he was last year at Arizona State or the year before. But it's going to be interesting to see how he does with that program. To me, Lincoln Riley is really about the running game. It's kind of – it looks like he's this mastermind pass game guy, but it's really about the run game. It's about how he runs the football and he wants to run the ball. And in the Pac-12, it's not a physical conference. So you've got to – it's a little bit like the Big 12 when he was there and he was being able to run the football. So, but when he goes to the Big 10, I think things will change. I think the recruiting will change too because all those kids in Los Angeles, you know, they love being able to play at the Coliseum and to have their – you know, be so close. It's easy to go to Phoenix, Tucson. It's easy to go up to the Bay. Now they've got to go across the country and play Rutgers.
You know, there's a misnomer about West Coast sports fans, and specifically USC, the alum, as you know, they're obsessed with this program, and it's been down. Helton did not do a good job. Helton was put in a very tenuous position when he had to take over a head coach there, but he was overwhelmed. Here comes a guy that I think is really going to recruit here, Lincoln Riley. And you mentioned Brian Kelly at LSU. There's two states. One, Georgia. You put a fence around Georgia, you can win a national championship. And Louisiana's a state too, Michael. You put bayou without down there with Chick-Chick, you put a fence around that area, you can recruit and win a national championship.
There is no doubt. And they reload. And the one thing I will say about Coach Ed, Go Tigers, is he could recruit. And so I don't know how much talent is there. It's hard for us to really judge that, you know, because we don't get a chance to see it. I know that John Emery, the running back, is a really good player. He's a senior this year coming out. So I don't know where their talent is, but I'm pretty sure that the neighbor's kid who plays receiver and the Beck kid, I haven't seen enough of them, but I think they're going to be really good. I know the Botet kid is really a good player to go along. He was there, so I've watched him. But that's the hard part, is what are they going to get out of Jaden Daniels, to me, at quarterback? I think that's going to make all the difference in the world. Remember, the Brad Johnson son is now at Texas A&M. He was the quarterback last year, the left-hander.
You know, Coach Ogeron could recruit. He could find players. The problem was not much of a coach, and secondly, he couldn't find a shirt. So he was just running around Baton Rouge without a shirt on.
He's got a good tan, though.
He did get a good tan, and it started to get awkward down there. Okay, Northwestern Nebraska, let's start it off. It's going to be, what, 12:30 your time, 9:30 my time in Dublin. The weather's perfect, 65 degrees. You see the number, we'll go ahead and throw it up. Nebraska laying 11 at most shops. This total's jumped up from 50.5 to 52. I think we have to start with the Scott Frost conversation. It has been an unmitigated disaster for Frost at Nebraska. He's 15-29. He was 3-9 last year. A little misleading because 8 of those losses were by single digits. And remember, they played Ohio State very well, but he completely blew out his coaching staff. He brings in Mark Whipple, who, of course, got Pickett drafted in the first round there out of Pitt. But last year, it's just inconsistent on offense, Michael. Bad special teams, turnovers, really indicative of a bad coaching job by Frost.
And not winning close games, that's coaching too, right? You got to find a way to win the close games. I mean, look at the landscape of his career there. He's 3-9, 3-5, 5-7, and 4-8. You know, and he plays Michigan to the wire. He plays Ohio State to the wire. Just can't win a close game. And now he brings in Casey Thompson to come play quarterback with Whipple. And Casey Thompson at Texas under the Steve Sarkisian offense, I'm sure we should genuflect after we say that. You know, his offense, you know, he throws for 2,100 yards last year, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. You know, to go along with Whipple, are they going to be that good? I think, to me, that's the key question is they returned 10 starters on defense. And their defense was fairly salty last year. They wore down. But I think they should be better defensively. There's no doubt. Offensively, with Casey Thompson, you got to figure out what they're going to do, how that's all going to play out. But I think with where they are, the Johnson kid at receiver is really the running back at receiver, and they've got the transfer coming in. So, I mean, this should be a better team on paper. It should be a better team, and it should be a team that should handle Nebraska, but it should handle Northwestern. But the problem is Northwestern's a little bit better, too. I loved in researching for this, I loved what Pat Fitzgerald said. He said, look, everybody wants to talk about the quarterback, but we were the worst team in the offensive and the defensive line last year, and that has changed. I think that's when you admit that, you're taking a giant step forward.
Well, you nailed it. It's almost like the opposite there at Northwestern with Pat Fitzgerald coming off an equal 3-9 season. Because remember, he won the Big Ten West in 2018 and 2020. He's had success there. It's a tough place to recruit. Ryan Helinski, he transferred from the West Coast to South Carolina and played in 5 games for Northwestern last year, is going to be your starter. But also 12 starters back overall for this Northwestern team. It's a defense that, you know, it took a step back from an awesome year the previous year in an offense that was the worst in the Big Ten last year, Northwestern averaging a little over 16 points per. I think they're going to bounce back. I think they're going to be better. One thing I will say about this total, the reason it's jumping, Michael, when you think of Northwestern, you think of plotting, but they were top 40 in pace last year. They moved the football. They get it going as far as tempo, and Nebraska also top 40. I don't expect them to slow down with Whipple calling plays.
If you ask Fitzgerald what's the strength of his team, he'd say running back, right? He's got Evan Hull there. He's got Claire there. He's got Cam Porter. He's got good running backs. And he feels like his offensive line is much improved. And we'll see. You know, I don't have the tape to watch him in the preseason. Jim O'Neill, the defensive coordinator, who he was in the National Football League for years, they were a disaster. But what they've done in the transfer portal, which I think is kind of hard for Northwestern, is they've taken kids and they've rebuilt their defensive front. I mean, they have basically all senior transfers in the defensive front. And we'll see if that's going to make a difference. I mean, it's got to get better there. And that's where their team – look, they're tough. One thing about Pat Fitzgerald, it's a tough-minded team. And they play with physicality. They may not be the most athletic team, but they play with physicality. And that toughness is going to have to show up. And I think that's where Nebraska, when it got tough for Nebraska last year, they couldn't quite close it. I think this is why we're seeing this line coming this way.
100%. When we return, first off, we do have news out of Seattle. They've named the starter under center for the Seahawks. We'll get to that. Plus, I want to talk about Wyoming and Illinois, an interesting matchup. A non-conference today as we continue. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, the reaction's been insane to this year's Pro Football Betting Guide. It's out now. It dropped on Thursday, so get prepared. Remember, the NFL is right around the corner. This year's guide is packed. Over 110 pages, Super Bowl and playoff predictions, season win total best bets for every team, best ways to bet rookie quarterbacks. Plus, we get the bookmaker to break down the futures as far as the future bets. So remember, the only way to get access this year, this is very important. Also, when you sign up and become a VSiN All Access subscriber, you're going to get the College Football Betting Guide, which is 350 digital pages. It's awesome. You have to be an all-access subscriber. This is the information I wish I had when I was coming up in this, man. It's $175, so you can save 50% right now. Again, vsin.com/subscribe. Save money. It's $175. That gets you through the Super Bowl with everything we offer here at VSiN. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you're having a nice Saturday. Michael Lombardi, we do have a starter. I want to get to Wyoming and Illinois because it's an interesting spot for a team that is completely overturning as far as production in Wyoming. But quickly, your boy Geno Smith. And COVID kind of did Drew Locke in. However, Locke didn't help himself. And Geno Smith has been named the starter there with the Seahawks.
Yeah, and I still think this is starter in waiting. I still think they're waiting on Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, San Francisco's played their last preseason game. You know, Trey Lance has been quoted as saying, look, that game's behind me. I know I didn't play very well, but, you know, I'm moving forward. And so San Francisco's going to have to wait and see. You know, I think he's Jimmy Garoppolo. There's only one job open. Sam Darnold injured. He had a high ankle sprain last night, but that doesn't really matter because he was going to make the team, but Baker Mayfield was going to be the starter. So there's no jobs that are available. So the 49ers are not going to get, I mean, their phone's not going to ring anytime now unless something dramatic happens today or tomorrow. I don't see their phone ringing to acquire them, so they're going to have to release them.
Are you hearing anything on Jimmy G?
No, nothing. I mean, it's as quiet as can be. And Jimmy G, look, Don Yee's sitting back there saying, well, I'm not redoing the contract.
Why would he?
Cut him. Exactly. Why would he? You basically have done this. You've hindered me this long. You've kept me from getting another job. You've held on to me. There's been no trade market for my player since the owners' meeting in March. So you're holding on to him. You're basically just trying to protect him from going to Seattle. Cut him. He's going to go to Seattle.
You're a good dude. If DraftKings and Len and Bill and VSiN, if they came to you and said, we just want some money back, for what reason? We love your production. We think you've done a good job. Why would you give it back? Why would Jimmy G hand any money back? He's taken them to a Super Bowl, NFC Championship games, plural. No reason to give it back.
Well, none. I mean, it really doesn't matter. Nobody wants to take a pay cut from their current team. If you want to take a pay cut, go to another team. And also, it's not the pay cut that's the problem. It is. That's A. B, I lost my job. Did I lose my job fairly? Can you honestly look at me and say Trey Lance is a better player than I am? I don't think you can do that. I think even Kyle says that. Kyle said after yesterday, I read a quote, he said that, you know, yes, Lance needs more reps, but this is the best we have. We don't have any more reps to give him. So, you know, that's where we are. This is the bed we've laid in. We've got to make it.
All right, that's the news, Jimmy G. We wait to see. Of course, he'll probably get cut, and then it'll be free game. And Geno Smith has been named the starter for week one for the Seahawks. Okay, we transition, of course, week zero in college football. Wyoming and Illinois is fascinating, Michael. So this game opened 10. It's jumped up to 14, a key number, of course, and for good reason. The totals dropped from 46.5 down to 43. It's going to be hot. It's going to be 84 and muggy in Champaign today. A couple things here. Wyoming, 7-6 last year. Craig Bull returns for his ninth season. They're replacing a ton of production. How much? The quarterback, 1,000-yard rusher, their top two wide receivers, their interior offensive line, and 11 of the top 15 tacklers on that defense. So, again, a new quarterback in Peasley coming from Utah State. And if they get behind Wyoming, because they can't throw the football, if they get behind to Illinois, who just wants to run the football down your throat, this could be a long day there in Illinois for Wyoming.
Yeah. And Illinois returns their three top rushers from last year, Chance Brown, McCray, you know, and they were able to, when they played well under the Brett Bielema scheme, that's how they won it. You hit the nail on the head. They want to run the football. They have six guys coming back offensively, six guys coming back defensively. And I think if this game was in Wyoming, I would like Wyoming a little bit more. But I think why the line is moving is because this is a Big Ten school against a rebuilding Mountain West school. And it's going to be really challenging for them. You know, it's going to be challenging for them to hold up to the constant power, to the run, all those things that I think is going to be a problem. And like you said, I think this transfer from Utah State, Peasley, can he actually come in and make enough plays? Can they protect him well enough? I think that's going to be the key question. Look, I don't think Illinois is a great team by no means. You know, I don't think that's the case. But I think this is a down year in the Mountain West for Craig Bowles' team.
Two things off of what you said. One, Illinois' defense a little slept on last year. They were the best or second best in the country as far as not allowing explosive plays. But also, six starters return on a defense that only allowed 18.8 points in the Big Ten last year in Big Ten play for Illinois. That's not bad. And again, Bielema, they ran the ball 58% of the time last year. They bring in Tommy DeVito. Okay, we have fun with Tommy DeVito. He played behind an awful offensive line last year. But you just mentioned it. They're going to run the football down Wyoming's throat, and Wyoming's just trying to figure out who they are.
Right. And I think when you look at defensively too, right, so they have a lot of guys that have been in the program with Bielema over the year, right? So they have a lot of redshirt players or juniors or seniors. So they're an older and more experienced team, which I think certainly will help them. Look, I don't think they're going to put Tommy DeVito in a situation where it's going to be throwing the ball 45 times. That's not what's going to happen. You know, do I think he'll run the ball? Yeah, I think he'll be involved in the running game, but I don't think they're going to allow him just to go out there and make plays and do that. I think this is all going to be predicated on their running game and how they handle that. And I think when they get that going, you know, then I think they got a chance to be really good.
Tommy DeVito sounds like a guy you're going to invite to your Labor Day party there at Ocean City, New Jersey. Hey, Tommy
he
DeVito,
would fit.
Come on.
He would fit. He would fit in. There's no doubt. He would fit in. You know, but when you look at this, when you look at Illinois, I mean, you know, Brett did a really good job. I know he got fired at Arkansas, but he did a good job at Arkansas. He had that thing going a little bit. It wasn't, you know, he took over a tough situation after the Petrino. You know, it kind of fizzled it out. But I think he's a Big Ten coach. He was really good at Wisconsin. I think he understands the Wisconsin model. And that's what I think he's trying to do in Champaign-Urbana is to handle that.
There's a game that you and I have been joking about. That's Nevada at New Mexico State. Look, I know for decades New Mexico State has been a doormat, but this is interesting. So Nevada opened 13. Look at this movement. They're down to 7.5 at New Mexico
Jesus
State.
God.
There's a few good reasons. Two new coaches, of course. Here's what Nevada lost. They lost Carson Strong and everybody else. Remember, Norvell, yep. The head coach, went to Colorado State. They bring in a vet in Ken Wilson to coach the team who's never coached in college football. He wants to run the football. Jerry Kill comes into New Mexico State. It's interesting with Jerry Kill because, remember, he did a good job at Minnesota. He just had to step away because of health reasons. But they return nine defensive starters there at New Mexico State. It's a 2-win team from last year. They're going to want to run the football. Look, I told you during the week, I already have the under. It dropped from 55 down to 48, and I bet it a little early. But I think this is going to be an ugly game, and this is not the Nevada team we saw last year.
No, and you know, they take and New Mexico State takes this transfer, Diego Pavai, from New Mexico Highlands, you know, and so New Mexico, I think minors or somewhere, I mean, a transfer school, what a small school in New Mexico. So he comes in, he's a kid from Albuquerque that they bring in, and they're going to run the ball. They're going to do exactly what Kill did at Minnesota, is involve the quarterback in the run game and try to slow the pace of the game down, control it. And I'm with you. I think that Nevada's in a tough spot. You know, what do schools typically do? They fought, the AD left, you know, Norvell left. So what happened? Chris Alt comes in, and basically they bring somebody from the Chris Alt era back. Can they duplicate that? I think that's always going to be a challenge.
They return less production than any team in college football from last year. Also, you just mentioned it. The air raid is dead at Nevada because Ken Wilson is more of a plotting, just traditional run the football type of coach. Going back to the Alt era. So I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be slow. Two new coaches, 48 off the 55. So you've lost the best of it as far as the number on the total.
Yeah.
But that's going to be gross.
I mean, you're counting on a quarterback who we don't know. Nate Cox is going to step in. He last played at La Tech. I mean, but he didn't play at La Tech. So where are we going here? You know, and this is the interesting thing. I mean, do you realize Nate Cox, their starting quarterback at Nevada, is like 6'9"? He's one of the tallest players in college football. How's he going to get out? I mean, I can't wait to watch. I want to see how he gets out of his own way. I've never seen a quarterback that tall before.
And by the way, you're looking at last year where Nevada beat up on New Mexico State 55-28. Oh, by the way, Carson Strong threw 6 touchdown passes in that game. Guess what? Carson Strong ain't walking through that door for Nevada this year. So it's a completely different team. Completely turned
over. Have you ever seen a quarterback 6'9 in your life, Patrick? Have you ever seen a quarterback 6'9 in your life?
You tell me. You've recruited your whole entire life. You've scouted your whole entire life.
Dan McGuire, I think, was the top. I think Dan McGuire was the tallest. I think he was like 6'6", 6'7". I think he was, but he couldn't move. He was at San Diego State. He couldn't move. Like, I mean, 6'9", quarterback. Hard to do.
I'm trying to think. Not even close, right? 6'9" has to be the tallest starter. I'm going to look.
Ever.
You know, that's a good piece of treat. We'll ask Jick Jack. Jick Jack's coming up next from the Bayou.
He knows.
Ask our guy. Oh, he'll know. He'll know for sure. Of course, he runs the race and sports book down in the Bayou. Jick Jack's going to join us next right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. This is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Brent Musburger, thank you. The action never stops at BetMGM. Sign up using the bonus code VSIN1000, VSIN1000, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. A tremendous deal over at the King of Sportsbooks. BetMGM state-of-the-art app offers a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, daily boosted odds specials, and more. They got you covered. Plus, it's a very interactive app, so you can get in with the live wagering. New customer offer, got to be 21 years or older. Again, it's VSIN1000. Call 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Okay, we're going to bring our buddy Jick Jack in. But just quickly, you mentioned that Nate Cox, who's starting today for Nevada, is 6'9". Brock Osweiler, 6'7". And then how about
the heist.
Dan McGuire?
The heist.
How about Dan McGuire?
Yeah, the heist.
Mark McGuire's brother, 6'8".
Yeah.
But he was drafted by the Seahawks.
I mean, both guys could move. The heist, I called Brock Osweiler the heist because he was like the Lufthansa heist. He went down and basically went right into Houston and took all that money. Good for him.
He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher, and he is Jick Jack Johnson, Carl Johnson. He runs this race and sports book down at the Beau Rivage in Biloxi, Mississippi. It's week zero, Carl. It's finally here. How are we feeling?
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys. I mean, it feels like Christmas morning, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does. I mean, I can't wait to see that green grass over there in Dublin, Carl. I'm sure you're probably going to have a few shots of Irish whiskey to get this day going.
Oh, yeah. Baileys and cream, baby, in the coffee already.
There you go. I know. That's my guy right there.
Of course, Northwestern Nebraska in Dublin. It made sense when Notre Dame went there, Boston College, not necessarily Northwestern Nebraska. But, Carl, set us up on this number, and who are they betting down at the Beau with Northwestern and Nebraska?
Yeah, so, you know, we opened this game, Nebraska, 10 and 54 and a half. It got all the way up to 12 and a half and 50 and a half, and currently we're at 11 and a half, 51 and a half. Handle-wise, we're getting about 62% of the money on Nebraska with about 52% of the tickets.
Yeah, and, you know, where are you, Carl, on this one? I mean, you handicap all these games. Where are you? What do you think the real line is in this game? I know there's been a lot of movement, but where do you think the point is where the line has gotten away from the better?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting game. I mean, I don't understand the location. I think Northwestern has a Fitzgerald as a coach and an O'Neal, so that might be some of it. But, I think this game is probably a touchdown game here. I mean, just a sense, you know, I kind of like the number 8, 8.5 here. That's my feeling on it.
How about Nevada and New Mexico State? We were just talking about this game and this matchup. Of course, New Mexico State's been a laughingstock for years and years, but Nevada, I mean, they're turning over the whole entire program, including at head coach and quarterback. Where's the number with Nevada and Mexico State here, Carl? What do you got?
Yeah, so this is a pretty interesting game. There's a couple of them on the sheet here today that you can clearly see the sharp money. So we opened this game, Nevada 14 and 55. It went to 9.5 and 50.5, and currently we're sitting 8.5, 48. So the interesting thing here is that for us, New Mexico State is getting about 81% of the money, but Nevada is getting about 70% of the tickets. So you can see that's where the sharps are at.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, you know, this is kind of what all comes down to power ratings, right, Carl? I mean, the reason people jump in and move this number and you have to move it is the power rankings by people that do it for a living have a different line for this game than the book opened it up with.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing about this game is, you know, I don't think nobody's talked about it, but New Mexico State turns around and plays Minnesota Thursday night. You know, they're trying to finish their whole season in like a month.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, why would they do that? Yeah,
well,
I mean,
how about this one?
Well, it's a money grab. I mean, we know why they do it. It's a money grab.
Yeah. How about a look-ahead spot with UConn and Utah State? Okay, so Blake Anderson, Michael, I know you like him, some stability there, won the Mountain West last year. But next week, Utah State faces Alabama, Carl. This week, they're facing a UConn program that almost folded. They've got a new coach in Jim Mora. This is going to be a big number. What's the price on UConn, Utah State?
Yeah, I think that number next week also is like 37.5. But this week, so we opened it at 27.61. It went up a half a tick to 27.5, and now it's settled at 26.5, 59.5. Now, this is another interesting little tidbit. Connecticut is getting 70% of the money. Utah State, 60% of the tickets. So the sharps are on Connecticut here also.
You know, Carl, I wanted to ask you that Florida A&M has lost 20 players going into today's game against North Carolina. They're still going to play the game. Did you take this game off the board?
Yeah. This game, it was off the board, Mike. We've got it back up right now. We've got North Carolina 43.5. Very wow. Limited market. We don't have a total on it, but yeah, it's up at 43.5 right now.
I actually think North Carolina, I think we might have been a year early on North Carolina last year in Mack Brown. He brings in Chizik to settle down that defense. I think they're going to be pretty good this year in a conference that isn't very good, the ACC, Michael Lombardi. Okay, let's continue. Is there anything else that stands out? You're going to have a lot of people chasing bets. Vandy, Hawaii, late night there at the Bow, Carl.
Yeah, so this is our biggest move of the week, I believe. You know, Vandy opened up 2.5, 54.5. Bet all the way up now to 9.5 and 54.5. Vandy getting 80% of the handle, 60% of the tickets. And while I'm on the point here, there is a little thing that drew my attention for Thursday night. You can go ahead and tell your bettors now. It looks like this Penn State-Purdue game. It opened at 3. It's at 3 right now. But 90% of the handle is on Penn State with 90% of the tickets, and that line is stale, has not budged.
Yeah, they won't move it. Well, that quarterback at Purdue now, I wouldn't move that line on with that quarterback at Purdue and the offense that Purdue has. I think you got to be careful there. You know, and Penn State, look, I mean, James Franklin, for all the hype, for all the publicity, but, you know, Sean Clifford hasn't played to the level. He's 12-12 over the last 24 games. So there's a lot of momentum for Penn State. It just hasn't manifested itself on the field. But this Vanderbilt-Hawaii game to me is interesting. I mean, right now, on my board, there's 24,000 tickets already written up for this game, and you know it's going. Whereas Northwestern Nebraska was going to kick off in probably another half hour. I mean, they're at 40,000 tickets, so it's interesting. How about Charlotte, Florida Atlantic? That's a game that I'm interested in. Florida Atlantic killed them last year, destroyed them. Will Healy's defense was horrendous, but they have a really good young quarterback. Their offense is set. And they come back with against Florida Atlantic playing down in Boca, and they're a 7-point dog.
Yeah, so we opened at 6 and 57.5, and we are. We're currently at 7 and 58.5. Florida Atlantic is getting 85% of the handle and 75% of the tickets here. Yeah.
Yeah. But that Chris Reynolds kid, I'm telling you, Patrick, that's this Chris Reynolds kid, the quarterback at Charlotte's a really good. They can move the football. They can move it. And, you know, Florida Atlantic's going through that you know, their quarterback's for a transfer from Miami. He played there last year. You know, Canaris Perry, I believe his name is. So he played last year, and they could move the ball. But Charlotte's problem last year was defensively. They couldn't get any stops. I think they can get some stops here. I'm surprised that line's going towards Florida Atlantic.
I like it, Michael. Remember, when Carl's talking about the money and the tickets, you can check out the betting splits over at vsin.com. Now, we have 2 minutes to go. Let's set up what's coming up this Friday. And I was just texting with Millie. She's fired up as well. You've got royalty coming to the Beau Rivage this Friday.
God.
We do. Oh, you know, we're excited. You know, we like Michael. I want to get a chance to talk to him about some other stuff other than sports. I know he knows what he's talking about, sports, but you know, I want to get a chance to talk to him about his writing, stuff like that. Watch some games, chill out. I want to teach him how to eat some good frog legs and stuff like that. You know, so we're gonna have a good time, Patrick. The people down here, they follow you guys. They love the both of you. So he's got a big following down here. We wish you was coming. So it's going to be fun. We're going to make it fun. We're going to make sure Miss Millie has a good time, and it's going to be a nice. It's going to be a nice trip.
That's the best. I'm so excited. You guys are all going to meet. Of course, What is on the menu today? It is week zero, as you call it, Christmas for Jick Jack. What are you eating, my man?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to eat some jambalaya, some, you know, put some shrimp in there. And I got a good piece of cornbread, homemade cornbread. Ooh, that's good stuff, baby.
That sounds delicious.
I love
One more is the podcast. Jick Jack Johnson on Twitter is a must follow. Jick Jack, you're the best. Have a good day down at the bow, okay?
Thank you, Carl. All Appreciate it, Jick Jack. See you soon.
All right, man. Y'all have a good one.
My favorite is he wants to sit and talk to you about some writing.
Right.
He's going to talk about some writing. I love his accent. That is hilarious. You guys are going to have fun down there. Coming up next, Jordan Schultz is going to join us right here on the Lombardi Line as we shift to a little NFL.